I learned a new word probably about 5 years ago. I think I'd heard it, but always pretended I understood it. Who knows what the word palindrome means? Anybody know that word? Palindrome is a word that it's the same spelled going forward and backwards. And so when Paul and Kim had Hannah, I learned new word. And you know, there's other names that are palindromes. Anna, that's pretty close to the hand. But then Bob, pretty straightforward. But you know, the interesting thing that I actually just learned is that palindromes are not just with letters. They can be with numbers. And do you realize that today is a palindrome? Look at that. 0202020. Look at that. And you know what? It even works if you're European or you style yourself that way. If you even go the other way, start with a year and it still works. Pretty fun. Okay, now if you really want to get nerdy, are you ready for this? Are you ready? You are seated. Good. Today is the 33rd day of the year. And guess how many days are left? 300, yes, say it, and 33. Yeah, some things are better than football. Okay, there's another word, there's other words that are fun. They're called autoantonyms. Anybody know what an autoantonym is or a contronym? See, those are words that they are literally opposites of each other. Like, and it always happens when I'm doing premarital counseling, cleave. Cleave is a contronym. So it means to unite, but if you take out your meat cleaver, you are not uniting anything. You are splitting. You are split. It's the exact opposite. The word bolt, right? You're going to bolt something down. And you bolt, so it's one keeps it, you know, in one place, and one's moving really, really fast. The word for today is fast. Yeah, you could tell I'm a nerd. Okay, so fast can have at least two meanings. First is firm and immovable, right? To hold something fast means it's not going anywhere. Anybody look for color fast fabrics? Okay, it's not gonna bleed all over everything. It's gonna stay exactly where it is. It's immovable. I just hope no one is experiencing being fast asleep right now. If they are, try to shake them up a little bit. If you run into a hard and fast rule, don't think you're going to get any slack. It's immovable. But at the same time, it's moving rapidly. So when you say someone is fast, you usually don't mean they're not moving. It means that they're going really fast. Now, it's interesting because in the Bible, you get both meanings. Sometimes they rode fast, but mostly in the Bible, the idea of fast means to hold fast. You read through the NIV repeatedly in Deuteronomy and throughout the Old Testament, we hear God commanding his people to hold fast to his word. Again, that doesn't mean move away from him. That means stay right where you are, holding on, and they would frequently have to repent from not holding fast. The idea is to be faithful and unmoving. Can you guess how moving rapidly came from being immovable? Because believe it or not, it actually comes from the same root. Because they would say, ride fast. If someone was delivering a message, move fast, meaning don't stop, be immovable, continue doing it. Don't be distracted, just hold fast, ride fast, run fast. Don't let up. In other words, work hard, work fast. Now, there's another use of the word fast, and that means to abstain from food. This is the definition I'm going to use for what we're going to read in just a second here. To fast means abstaining from food in an effort to align the physical world with the spiritual. Okay, so when Jesus is using the word fast, he's saying you're going to abstain from food in an effort to align the physical world with the spiritual. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, when you abstain from food in an effort to align the physical world with the spiritual, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, when you abstain from food in an effort to align the physical world with the spiritual, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The idea behind fasting is to align what's happening in the spiritual world or our relationship with God with the physical world. See, frequently we miss what's going on spiritually because we're so focused on what's going on in the physical world all around us. So sometimes we ignore what matters most to God. And what fasting can do, fasting can bring us in alignment, particularly when there's an absence, when something is missing in our relationship with God. So Israel frequently was disobedient. And God called them to do what? To fast. So that they could realize, oh, we're not being steadfast. There it is again. When fasting shows up in the Old Testament, it's frequently associated with mourning and weeping. But sometimes we're moving so fast that we miss that there's something missing in our relationship with God. We miss the fact that we've been disobedient or unfaithful or we're not trusting Him for a particular thing or in a particular area of our lives. And so we fast. See, in their mourning and their weeping, they would call a fast. For Ezra and Esther, a fasting meant to humble themselves. And it's an example for us to humble ourselves when we need God's protection. When there appears to be an absence of God's protection, we pray and fast. We align our physical world, feeling that absence, feeling the hunger for what we hunger for in the spiritual realm, which is God's protection. Jesus, even when his disciples, when the Pharisees said, you know, John's disciples fast, we fast, how come your guys don't fast? Remember what Jesus said? Well, the bridegroom's with them. There's no absence. Why are they going to fast? But when the bridegroom leaves, what? That's when they'll fast. When I'm not here, when they're eager to see me return, that's when they will fast. They'll align the physical world with the spiritual world. In Antioch, the early disciples fasted and prayed for guidance. There was an absence of clear leading from God. What do we do? Where do we go? What do we do with Paul? How do we do this? And so they did what? They fasted and prayed. They allowed the reality of the spiritual world, which was the absence of clear guidance, to enter into their world, and they felt this absence, they felt the emptiness in their bellies, and so they fasted. Paul would pray and fast for deliverance. He's in prison, so what does he do? God's protection doesn't seem to be obvious. I'm going to experience what is happening in the spiritual realm in the physical realm. So it's abstaining from food in an effort to align the physical world with the spiritual world. And if you've ever fasted, you know it just doesn't come easy, does it? Let's look at the passage again. Read it with me. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who is unseen, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Again, that's God's word. So what is fasting not? Fasting is not a public demonstration. Okay, fasting is not a public demonstration. Just like the two earlier expressions here in the Sermon on the Mount of giving and praying, Jesus says, if you're doing it for other people, that's it. That's your reward. You know, hopefully people give you a thumbs up or respect you. That, oh, you're really spiritual. He says, it's not a public demonstration. It's not, you don't do it for others. And I know this is so easy to do. I mean, I'm tempted all the time when I'm standing here and it comes time for the pastoral prayer to pray so that you like the sound of my voice. One of the most painful things for me is, particularly when I'm doing funerals for those I don't really know, and I'll offer a prayer, and someone will come up to me and say, oh, that was so beautiful, Bob Billy. That was, oh, the way you choose, and you know, what does that do for me? That's like major big temptation. Pray so other people like how you pray. You might actually have that same temptation if someone asks you to pray for them. You stop and you think, okay, got to get the words just right. Okay, do I use a palindrome? No, do I do this? No. You try to find the right words, but that's not the point. It's not the point. You don't want to look like you're fasting. And also, you don't want to go the other extreme. Jesus says, you know, get your... put oil on your head and wash your face. Just so you know, that's not saying, like, dress up like for a formal affair. He's really saying, just, it's be normal. People put oil in their hair, they would wash their faces. So just be normal. So the only person who knows you're fasting might be your family members, but the only person who knows you're fasting is God. It's also not an extra. You know, for the really spiritual people, you know, the people you have in mind, it's like, oh, that person's, they're really a Christian. I'm just like a junior Christian, but they fast. And so it's like an extra thing. Did you notice how Jesus started this? When you fast. He's assuming that all 12, and if you think they were spiritual giants, you need to reread your Bible. those guys were just as lame as we are. They kept messing up. They kept messing up. You know, you remember their nickname, right? Oh, you of little faith? Thanks. That's my t-shirt. Oh, me of little faith. That's who they are. And that's who you and I are. And he says to, oh, we of little faith, what? When you fast. See, fasting has almost disappeared. Or actually, there's been a revival of it maybe in the last 10 years. But from the end of the 19th century till near the close of the 20th century, fasting, you could go through church bulletins. You could hear about prayer meetings. You could hear about worship services. You could hear about concerts of prayer. Fasting almost disappeared. You could have national days of prayer, but not fasting. Because we sort of said, oh, those are the really spiritual, the monks, they do that. Or maybe Catholics, they do that. Or, you know, during Lent, we can. It's a normal part of the Christian life, according to Jesus. So, that means you and I probably need to join in, don't we? But before we join in, we also have to recognize that it's not a formula where you sort of put the coin in, ding, and out comes the blessing. We do want the blessings of God, and you read here that God promises to reward. But if you and I are fasting for the purpose of getting the little prize that falls out of the bottom of the machine, something tells me we're going to be waiting a long time. God is not a machine that we put the coin of fasting in and hear it drop and is it coming? Is it coming? Is it? See, if you want God's blessing, God has this way of doing it. As he says, you have to come through me. You have to come through me. Because he wants us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to treat him like he's some sort of machine or some sort of formula. So what is fasting? It's abstaining to feel a need, to feel an absence. So primarily, clearly, it's food. We need food. You stop eating, and I've said this before, my dead giveaway when I'm fasting is I can become super irritable. You skip a meal, what happens to you by the end of the day? You're a little bit hangry, is that the word? That's why those Snickers commercials are so good. Because that's what you become. You become this monster of a person when you're hungry. And do you know that monster of a person that I become is how God can recognize me when I'm not walking in the Spirit? See, it's not, the hunger only reveals what's there. It doesn't create anything. So it's abstaining to feel a need because we want to connect what's happening in the spiritual realm into the physical. It's also an expression, as I said, of humility. I, and maybe you, are so arrogant. We actually think we can live our lives just fine without any intervention from God. Anybody want to disagree? No, we're not arrogant. We're so humble, it's unbelievable. No, actually, it's unbelievable that we're humble. We are so arrogant. We seem to think that we can just go through our lives and, you know, we'll, you know, salt in a little church, salt in a little Bible, a little pepper here, a fellowship. I need God more than I need food. Will you say that with me? I need God more than I need food. I'm really glad you didn't say, Bodville, you need God more than I need. We need God more than we need food. See, when we express humility in fasting, we're saying, God, I know I need, something is missing in my relationship with you. Something is missing in the city of Fresno. Something is missing in my family. And as Paul said several weeks ago, quoting Bishop Binion, is that, you know, he's telling all these things, or Pastor Binion's telling his bishop, oh, there's all these things going on. Oh, are you fasting yet? No. Oh, it must not be that serious. Every one of our lives have serious absences of the presence and power of God. It's time we humble ourselves and seek Him in fasting. It's an opportunity to draw near to God. See, in the history of the church, this gathering that we're about to do made Sunday known as the feast day. There were fast days and there were feast days. We have a lot of food here, but would you ever call this a feast? Feast is what we have after church, right? Whether in the fellowship hall or at your homes. Those are feasts. Well, in the church, if we really do need God more than we need food, the experience of the spiritual presence of Christ in the bread and in the cup is a feast. Are you ready to feast? Some of us are experiencing a tremendous absence in our relationship to God. Some of us are witnessing it in others, and we're embarrassed. Don't go tell that person that you can observe their absence, the absence in their relationship with God. Would you please fast on their behalf? You can recognize a point of need in your life where things seem out of alignment with you and God, or maybe within your family, maybe it's your work. It's time to fast. It's time to take the effort to align the two. Chuck Swindoll had a great expression that he said, God has designed us with deficiencies. Each one of us has a God-designed deficiency, and He allows those deficiencies in our lives week by week, day by day, so that we would do what? We would turn to Him. We would humble ourselves. That we'd be honest to say, God, I need you more than food, than anything else. With that in mind, why don't we sing our next song?
It's good that you're here this morning, and I hope you're here to seek God's face. Fellowship is good. That's how we encourage each other.